We have had some experience with the triumphs of astronomers, we have some suspicions as to their greatly advertised accuracy. We shall find out for ourselves whether the morning of November 14, 1867, was clear enough in England or not. We suspect that it was a charming morning, in England. Monthly Notices, RAS 28-32. Report by E. J. Lowe, Highfield House, night of November 13-14, 1867. Clear at 1.10 a.m., high, thin cumuli, at 2 a.m., but sky not covered until 3.10 a.m., and the moon's place visible until 3.55 a.m., sky not overcast until 5.50 a.m. The determination of the orbital period of 33 years and a quarter, but with appearances of a period of 33 years, was arrived at by Professor Newton by searching old records, finding that, in an intersection period of 33 years, there had been extraordinary meteoric displays, from the year 902 AD to the year 1833 AD. He reminds me of an investigator who searched old records for appearances of Halley's Comet, and found something that he identified as Halley's Comet, exactly on time, every 75 years, back to times of the Roman Empire. See the Edinburgh Review, Volume 66. It seems that he did not know that orthodoxy does not attribute exactly a 75-year period to Halley's Comet. He got what he went looking for, anyway. I have no disposition for us to enjoy ourselves at Professor Newton's expense, because, surely enough, his method, if regarded as only experimental, or tentative, is legitimate enough, though one does suspect him of very loose behavior in his picking and choosing. But Dr. Adams announced that, upon mathematical grounds, he had arrived at the same conclusion. The test. The next return of the Leonids was predicted for November, 1899. Memoirs of the British Astronomical Association, 9-6. No meteoric event ever before aroused such widespread interest, or so grievously disappointed anticipation. There were no Leonids in November, 1899. It was explained. They would be seen next year. There were no Leonids in November, 1900. It was explained. They would be seen next year. No Leonids. Vaunt and inflation and parade of the symbols of the infinitesimal calculus, the pomp of vectors, and the hush that surrounds quaternions, but when an axis of coordinates loses its rectitude, in the service of a questionable selection, disciplined symbols become a rabble. The Most High of mathematics and one of his proposed prophets points to the sky. Nowhere near where he points, something is found. He points to a date, nothing happens. Professor Service, in Astronomy in a Nutshell, explains. He explains that the Leonids did not appear when they should have appeared, because Jupiter and Saturn had altered their orbits. Back in the times of the Crusades, and nothing was disturbing the Leonids, and if you're stronger for dates than I am, think of some more dates, and nothing was altering the orbit of the Leonids' discovery of America, and the Spanish Armada, in 1588, which, by some freak, I always remember, and no effects by Jupiter and Saturn, French Revolution, and on to the year 1866, and still nothing the matter with the Leonids, but, once removed from discovery and identification, and that's the end of their period, diverted by Jupiter and Saturn, old things that had been up in the sky at least as long as they had been. If we're going to accept the calculi at all, the calculus of probabilities must have a hearing. My own opinion, based upon reading many accounts of November meteors, is that decidedly the display of 1833 did not repeat in 1866, that a false priest sinned and that an equally false high priest gave him sanction. The tragedy goes comically on. I feel that, to all good neo-astronomers, I can recommend the following serenity from an astronomer who was unperturbed by what happened to his science, in November, 1899, and some more Novembers. Bryant, A History of Astronomy, p. 252. that the meteoric display of 1899 had failed to appear as had been predicted by Dr. Downing and Dr. John Stone Stoney. One starts to enjoy this disguisement, thinking of virtually all the astronomers in the world who had predicted the return of the Leonids, and the finding, by Bryant, of two who had not, and his recording only the opinion of these two, coloring so as to look like another triumph, but we may thank our sorely stimulated suspiciousness for still richer enjoyment. That even these two said no such saving thing. Nature, November 9, 1899. Dr. Downing and Dr. Stoney, instead of predicting failure of the Leonids to appear, advise watch for them several hours later than had been calculated. I conceive of the astronomer's fictitious paradise as male architectural with corrupted equations, and paved with rotten symbols. Seeming pure, white fountains of formal vanities boasts that are gushing from decomposed triumphs. We shall find their furnishings shabby with tarnished comets. We turn expectantly to the subject of comets, or we turn cynically to the subject. We turn maliciously to the subject of comets. Nevertheless, threading the insecurities of our various feelings, is a motif that is the steady essence of neo-astronomy. That, in celestial phenomena, as well as in all other fields of research, the irregular, or the unformulable, or the uncapturable, is present in at least equal representation with the uniform, that, given any clear, definite, seemingly unvarying thing in the heavens, coexistently is something of wantonness or irresponsibility, bizarre and incredible, according to the standards of purists that the science of astronomy concerns itself with only one aspect of existence, because of course there can be no science of the obverse phenomena which is good excuse for so enormously disregarding, if we must have the idea that there are real sciences, but which shows the hopelessness of positively attempting. The story of the comets, as not told in Mr. Chambers' book of that title, is almost unparalleled in the annals of humiliation. When a comet is predicted to return, that means faith in the law of gravitation. It is Newtonism that comets, as well as planets, obey the law of gravitation, and move in one of the conic sections. When a comet does not return when it should, there is no refuge for an astronomer to say that planets perturbed it, because one will ask why he did not include such factors in his calculations, if these phenomena be subject to mathematical treatment. In his book, Mr. Chambers avoids, or indicates that he never heard of, a great deal that will receive cordiality from us, but he does publish a list of predicted comets that did not return. Writing, in 1909, he mentions others for which he had hopes. Brooks' first periodic comet, 1886, 4, we must see what the years 1909 and 1910 bring forth. This is pretty indefinite anticipation, however, nothing was brought forth, according to monthly notices, RAS, 1909 and 1910, the Brooks comet that is recorded is Brooks, 1889. Jacobina's second periodic comet, 1900, 3, not seen in 1907, so we shall not have a chance of knowing more about it until 1914. No more known about it in 1914. Borelli's comet, 1905, 2, its expected return, in 1911 or 1912, will be awaited with interest. This is pretty indefinite awaiting. It is now said that this comet did return upon September 19, 1911. Denning's second periodic comet, 1894, I, expected, in 1909, but not seen up to Mr. Chambers' time of writing, no mention in monthly notices. Swift's comet, of November 20, 1894 must be regarded as lost, unless it should be found in December, 1912. No mention of it in monthly notices. Three comets were predicted to return in 1913, not one of them returned, monthly notices, 74-326. Once upon a time, armed with some of the best and latest cynicisms, I was hunting for prey in the magazine of science, and came upon an account of a comet that was expected in the year 1848. I supposed that the thing had been positively predicted, and very likely failed to appear, and, for such common game, had no interest. But I came upon the spore of disgrace, in the word triumph. If it does come, it will afford another astronomical triumph, Mag of Psi, 1848-107. The astronomers had predicted the return of a great comet in the year 1848. In monthly notices, April, 1847, Mr. Hines says that the result of his calculations had satisfied him that the identification had been complete, and that, in all probability, the comet must be very near. Accepting Professor Madler's determinations, he predicted that the comet would return to position nearest the Sun, about the end of February, 1848. No comet. The astronomers explained. I don't know what the mind of an astronomer looks like, but I think of a fizzle with excuses revolving around it. A writer in the American Journal of Science, 2-9-442, explains excellently. It seems that, when the comet failed to return, Mr. Barber, of Atwell, again went over the calculations. He found that, between the years 1556 and 1592, the familiar attractions of Jupiter and Saturn had diminished the comet's period by 263 days, but that something else had wrought an effect that he set down positively at 751 days, with a resulting retardation of 488 days. This is magic that would petrify, with chagrin, the arteries of the hemorrhagicalist statue that ever convinced the faithful, reaching back through three centuries of interactions, which, without divine insight, are unimaginable when occurring in 3 seconds. But there was no comet. The astronomers explained. They went on calculating, and 10 years later were still calculating. See Recreative Science, 1860-139. It would be heroic were it not mania. What was the matter with Mr. Barber, of Atwell, and the intellectual tentacles that he had thrust through centuries is not made clear in most of the contemporaneous accounts, but, in the year 1857, Mr. Hind published a pamphlet and explained. It seems that researches by Littrove had given new verification to a path that had been computed for the comet, and that nothing had been the matter with Mr. Barber, of Atwell, except his insufficiency of data, which had been corrected. Mr. Hind predicted. He pointed to the future, but he pointed like someone closing a thumb and spreading 4 fingers. Mr. Hind said that, according to Halley's calculations, the comet would arrive in the summer of 1865. However, an acceleration of 5 years had been discovered, so that the time should be set down for the middle of August, 1860. However, according to Mr. Hind's calculated orbit, the comet might return in the summer of 1864. However, allowing for acceleration, the comet is found to be due early in August, 1858.